Good evening, everyone. It's time to take charge of your life. Hello, this is marriage and family therapist Eleanor Barbaro, your host, inviting you to take charge of your life on WDIY. The theme of this program is that so many events in life happen to us over which we have no control. Our only control is our response to life's situations. It is often said that 90% of life's events happen to us, and 10% is what we make happen. Tonight we talk about an expression we have all heard. We are what we eat. My guest this evening maintains that there is not only a mind-body connection, there is also a food-mind-body connection. Tonight we will explore how the food that we eat can affect our mood as well as be a link between depression, inflammation, and cognitive functions. My guest this evening is Dr. Leslie Korn, who practices somatic psychotherapy. She's the author of Nutritional Essentials for Mental Health and The Good Mood Kitchen. Dr. Korn is a clinician specializing in mental health nutrition and integrative medicine. She's a core faculty member of Capella University's Mental Health Counseling Program and is a clinical fellow at Harvard Medical School. It is a pleasure to welcome Dr. Leslie Korn, author of a wonderful book called Nutritional Essentials for Mental Health. It's a pleasure to welcome Dr. Leslie Korn to help us take charge of our lives on WDIY. Welcome, Dr. Leslie Korn.
Thank you so much, Eleanor.
How did you come to write this book, which is so interesting?
I have been practicing psychotherapy and mental health with patients for over 40 years. And what I came to notice as I was working on my own health, my own well-being, my own mental health and physical health, is that my patients who took charge of their food and their nutrition and who stopped eating sugar and stopped drinking too much and ate more leafy greens and ate a lot of eggs, by the way, they did better in therapy than those who didn't. And it got me thinking that there was a connection that I needed to explore.
And what did you find out in your exploration?
I found out some really amazing information that took me to the scientific literature, where we've got a revolution right now in understanding, for example, that depression, one of our major epidemics, is not a result of low brain chemicals or neurotransmitters. It is a result of inflammatory process in the body that is due in large part to the SAD diet, the standard American diet of white flour, white sugar, all those white foods and unreal foods, fake foods that we've been eating and that we are addicted to.
Well, that's amazing because just recently, maybe this past summer, I gave up all white things, all white flour, anything processed, even whole wheat flour, but anything white, white sugar, anything white in the diet. And I have not. The other thing I gave up was going on the scale.
That's such a smart thing to do.
Because I found the scale so infuriating. I'd be so good, and I'd follow every diet, because I followed every diet on the hemisphere. I'd be so good, and I'd go on the scale thinking, oh, I'd lost at least 2 pounds, maybe 2.5, and I'd get on. There was nothing. I had absolutely no results from being very cautious, so I gave up going on the scale. And the next thing I did was to give up all things white.
Well, that's a very smart thing to do, because most white foods cause inflammation in the body. Think about what happens to our cars when we drive in the winter, we leave them out in the snow, and the salt gets to the cars and it begins to rust them. That's what happens to our bodies inside when we eat these kinds of foods. It's called oxidation. We literally rust from within, and that's what aging and illness is about in large part. And that's why we want to eat foods that are anti-rust, antioxidants, like our beautiful blue and purple berries, because those contain chemicals that counteract that rust. So the approach to really being healthy, whether we want to lose weight or just maintain our physical or mental health, is to decrease the things that cause the rust and increase the foods that fight against that rust.
Well, give us some examples of things that increase the rust, and then we'll go to the things that we can decrease.
Well, for example, white flour, white sugar, soda pop, these are the first three things I work with my patients to try to give up. And let's recognize these are addictive foods. This isn't something when you talk about control that we often have control over. We don't realize that we're addicted to them. And we have to actually withdraw from them like we would withdraw from any drug. And the approach that I take is not, you know, we don't beat ourselves over the head with a broom. We say, what am I going to substitute to satisfy my sweet tooth? And so I have a whole approach to what's called food substitution so that you can satisfy the urge that we get when we love those yummy pastries, that we can still satisfy our sweet tooth. We can still have chocolate, which is a wonderful antioxidant, but not if it's paired with sugar. So we start to make a list of what we feel we can't live without, because those are often the culprits in our life. I've never had a patient say to me, oh, Dr. Korn, help me. I can't live without fresh carrots. No, it's get me off this pastry in the morning. So we start to look at those foods which cause, literally, they cause almost like a low-level fire in our arteries. That's why it's linked not just to weight gain, it's linked to dementia. Do you know that dementia now is called diabetes type 3? Because we know that our cognitive decline is linked to too high levels of sugar from these grains in our body.
Oh, that's amazing.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, that's amazing. This is the first time I've heard a link that has been associated with dementia.
Yes. And that's why it's good prevention for cognitive decline and dementia, too. What I say is eat according to our ancestors. Our ancestors were eating fresh fruits, fresh vegetables, meats and fish, depending upon where you're from, fresh eggs. Don't be afraid of your eggs. They are the best food in the world for your brain.
Doesn't it depend upon how we prepare them? Or is eggs in any way that we prepare them okay for the brain?
Well, certainly boiled, hard-boiled, soft-boiled, poached are going to be best. But even if you're starting to detoxify from this addiction to these powerful tastes, even if you're doing a light scramble, then at least you're transitioning to healthier foods and healthier ways of preparing them.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Take Charge of Your Life. And my guest this evening is Leslie Korn, a doctor, a PhD, who is a clinician specializing in mental health, nutrition, and integrative medicine. She's a core faculty member of Capella University's mental health counseling program, and she served as a Fulbright Scholar on traditional medicine and as a clinical fellow at Harvard Medical School and the National Institutes of Health-Funded Research in Mind-Body Medicine. And this book that you have put together is absolutely outstanding. It's called Nutrition Essentials for Mental Health, a complete guide to the food-mood connection. I think this is a brilliant book, and it's better than any program that I've read that I followed, because I followed them all for understanding the link between our mental health and good food choices.
Now, well, thank you.
Now, can you give us some examples of, I can give you many examples from my own life where I have tried to, you know, follow you know, many diets, but have found that I could lose the weight, but it would come back. And one of the most important things that I've given up, aside from the white products that you mentioned, I also gave up the scale, because I have found that going on the scale gets me very upset when I think I should have lost a couple of pounds because I've been so good, and I get on the scale and there's nothing happening. I get so angry, I want to eat up a storm.
You've identified that vicious cycle well, and you're right, because when we get stressed out, it increases our cortisol levels, our stress hormones, and then that causes us to gain weight. That causes us to gain our belly weight. And so you're right, weight does not matter. What matters is our condition, and that means our muscle mass. What's most important for us is to work to build our muscle mass. And ironically, muscle weighs more than fat does in our body. So we may actually weigh more when we're in better condition than when we're not. And we see this, many, many skinny people die early. As a matter of fact, the research shows that women whose cholesterol is under 200 live less long than women whose cholesterol is higher, because we know that cholesterol is a very important fat needed for health, for hormones, and for the brain. And so I think we've been subject to lots of myths about what's good for us and what's bad for us. And throwing away the scale is a great way to go. And lifting weights, walking, going to the gym, feeling in your body, because I think there's so many things in life that cause us to almost dissociate, to leave our bodies and feel disconnected from the strength of our bodies. And so I always encourage people to do three things: strengthen their muscles, stretch, and get aerobic exercise while they're eating good food for their brain, mind, and body. And the other thing, Ellie, that we haven't talked about yet are good fats. People are so afraid of fat, and yet good fat is medicine for the body. So don't be afraid of good fats. And throw away all the bad fats, the margarine, the canola oil, the sunflower oil. Fat can be medicine for the brain.
Well, that's a very interesting concept, and it's something I think we need to explore more. And we're going to explore more about what are the good kinds of food that we can be concentrating on. What are the good elements that we can put into our system? What are the good fats that we can be aware of when we come back to Take Charge of Your Life on WDIY?
Spread the word about your business or organization to a well-informed audience. Become an underwriter with WDIY. Our lineup of NPR News and locally produced programs reaches thousands of engaged listeners in the Lehigh Valley and beyond. Underwriting on WDIY is an affordable and effective way to provide information about your product and services to people who care. To learn more about underwriting opportunities, 610-694-8100, extension 6, or WDIY.org.
Welcome back to Take Charge of Your Life. Hello, this is Eleanor Bobrow, your host. And this evening we're talking with a remarkable person who has authored, I think, a simply amazing book called Nutrition Essentials for Mental Health. Now, I always knew that some foods were not good for your hips, your waist, but for mental health, that is another concept. And my guest is Dr. Leslie Korn, who has authored this very fine book called Nutrition Essentials for Mental Health. And we're talking with Dr. Korn about what are the essentials that we need to be aware of in terms of food selection and our mental health.
Well, I'll give you an example, Ellie, from my clinical practice of a woman who came to see me because she was on two medications, one to lift her mood and then one to help her sleep. In spite of this, she was depressed. She was working. She was under a lot of stress. she felt like her energy dropped in the morning, and then she started barking at her coworkers. She just was feeling out of sorts all the time. And I did with her what I call a food mood diary, and I asked her to keep track of what she eats and when she eats it, because I suspected that it wasn't that she had a mood disorder, which is what her primary physician classified it. I thought she probably had low blood sugar because she was living on coffee and Coca-Cola and donuts most of the day. And what I saw is that she was going up and down in her mood, and she was also going up and down in her energy. And I was able to see in her diary that it corresponded to the fact that she wasn't putting any good fuel into her body. Just like a car needs good fuel, so does our brain, mind, and body. And so as we sat and talked, I began suggesting that she make some changes. And she said, oh, Dr. Korn, don't take away my coffee. Don't take away my chocolate. And I said, of course not. Coffee is medicine. But it's a drug, so you have to use it like a drug. It's not a beverage. And chocolate is a wonderful anti-inflammatory. It's so good for your brain, but you can't mix it with sugar. So I gave her a mocha smoothie recipe to make in the morning that would satisfy her sweet tooth, and it contained a little bit of coffee, a little bit of pure organic cocoa. We added a little bit of coconut oil, which was very good for her brain. And instead of sugar, I asked her to sweeten it with stevia.
Ah.
And she was so excited because she was making this in a little blender at the office. And slowly we began to, by changing her diet and introducing some eggs and taking away the white foods, as we discussed.
Such as?
Donuts and white bread. And the other thing she was doing was going out to lunch with her girlfriends, which is great because being social when we eat is so good for us emotionally. But she was eating this terrible salad dressing. She thought she was being so virtuous eating salad, but she was putting this fake salad dressing on that had soybean oil, which is just poison for the brain. So I said, Joan, why don't you at home make a wonderful fresh salad dressing, keep it in a jar at the fridge, and just bring it with you to the restaurant? And she made virgin olive oil. She added a little hemp oil, very good for the brain, very good for decreasing cravings. She put in a little fresh apple cider vinegar, and she loved dill, which, by the way, is very good for gas. And she carried this, and then she got all her girlfriends at the office doing the same thing so that they were working on their health, physical health, and mental health together. And this is how we began our work. And she is now going to the gym. Over 6 months, she was able to get off both medications because, Ellie, did you know that the foods we eat are the building blocks of brain chemicals in our brain? So protein, meat, eggs, fish, all supply the chemicals our brain needs for our good mood.
Well, that sounds very exciting. And did she, by the way, lose weight besides?
She didn't need to lose weight, but what she needed to do is she needed to gain muscle. But she was so depressed, she wasn't getting any exercise. She felt blah and unable to take control of her life. And by being able to control what she ate and feel in control, then she felt not helpless any longer, but it manifested and spread out to all aspects of her life. Her mood improved. She started going to the gym to lift weights. And now she's actually sharing recipes. What I do is I keep a lot of recipes on my website. I introduced her to a lot of smoothies as a way to take vitamins and minerals and herbs and make one or two smoothies a day. I taught her how to make healthy chicken soup because there's nothing like chicken broth
right.
for the health of your body and your brain. But most importantly, we worked to counteract the myth. She was drinking lots of soy milk. I said, oh, no, that'll depress your thyroid and actually cause you to gain weight. She was staying away from eggs. Oh, I'm afraid of cholesterol. I said, don't be afraid of cholesterol. It's so good for your brain. So we worked through all the myths that she had been taught. And she is just sailing along in life now.
Well, that is an exciting story. And I'm sure that many of our listeners would like to duplicate or replicate that in their own lives. What about something like almond milk or these nut milks that are available? How do you feel about that?
I think they're an ideal substitution for cow's milk. I think we should probably, most all of us, get off of cow's milk. Do you know, only a very small proportion of the population can actually digest cow's dairy. And those people are from Northern Europe. This is genetically based, just like wheat. We hear so much about wheat and so much about gluten. Do you know that 50% of people with a diagnosis of psychotic disorder are actually wheat sensitive? And the way we discovered this was during World War II in Great Britain, there was a wheat shortage. But lo and behold, one of the side effects of that shortage is that people who were hospitalized with schizophrenia in Great Britain during the war got better. And they got better because they stopped giving them wheat. And so wheat is a major culprit in many people's lives, not everybody. So I think things like almond milk is a substitution for milk. We have non-glutinous grains. I, for example, make muffins out of nuts and eggs. I love to make different kinds of baked products. I even make healthy candies without sugar. As a matter of fact, I've got a recipe in my book called Healthy Chocolate Almond Joys, made up of the three best foods for you, chocolate, almonds, and coconut.
Can you give us a little quick example of that? That I think everybody would love to hear that.
Well, I use this also with my children patients because one of the major culprits in ADHD and also in focus as adults is that we're eating way too much sugar, which is causing our brains to fast fire too quickly.
I just want to interrupt. What about, we know about sugar. That has been mentioned. What about other sources of sweetness? You did mention stevia in the first part of the program. What about things like honey? Is that as detrimental as sugar?
I think a little bit of raw honey is okay in the diet, but I wouldn't go overboard. One of the things I do for a sugar substitute in addition to stevia is I take some prunes and some apricots, and then I take some raw almonds and I cover them with some water, put them in the fridge overnight, and then I have this wonderful juice, this almost sweet liqueur. The dried fruit and almonds then become a wonderful, healthy snack during the day. And then I've got this sweet liqueur. I can add it to my smoothie. I can add it to my oatmeal. I can add it to anything that I bake that I want to sweeten. So I'm working with what nature has given us. And this is the key to guide us. We don't need to be a nutritionist to understand. Ask yourselves, what does nature give us? And if nature didn't give it to us in the form of sweetness, then I would ignore it. Nature did not give us refined sugar. Nature gave us sugar cane to chew on.
Now, one of the other things I want to mention is that you have a recipe book called the Good Mood Kitchen. Is that correct?
Yes, I do. And this is a book I wrote for everyone to take them step by step through how to improve their mood and sleep and reduce anxiety. I think those are the three challenges we all face in our modern society. And so I've got lots of recipes for everybody. And the key is they're simple to prepare. And they use whether it's eggs or chicken or lamb or vegetables, fresh salads. I've got what I call a brain boost salad dressing, like I shared with you about Joan. Anything that you might want. I've got a recipe for a mocha matcha smoothie.
Oh, we all Can you give us that? Can you give us that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. This is a recipe that uses green tea. And whether you get green tea bags and you can steep 4 bags in some hot water, so you're making an extra strong green tea, or you can also buy green tea powder. And there is nothing as medicinal as green tea. It's anti-inflammatory. It's good for the brain. I can't say enough about how we should all be drinking green tea. And the benefits also include when we need a pick-me-up in the afternoon, rather than coffee, which makes us a little anxious if we drink too much. Green tea lifts our energy, but it has a special chemical in it that calms us down at the same time. So it's a very balanced medicine. And so this green tea smoothie involves using green tea, almond milk, as you mentioned, adding a little stevia to taste. And I love to add frozen blueberries, a cup of frozen blueberries. Mm. So a cup of strong green tea, a cup of blueberries, a cup of almond milk. If you need some sustaining energy, you can add a little bit of coconut fat to it and whip it up, and you will love the taste and love how it makes you feel.
Well, I think that sounds very exciting. And the Good Mood Kitchen, is that available in stores right now?
It's available in stores, and it's available on Amazon. And you can go to my website, drleslycorn.com, and that's K-O-R-N, not like the food we eat,
right.
drleslycorn.com. And I've got all of my books up there. I've got several recipe books, including The Good Mood Kitchen. And I've got lots of free recipes and information to guide your next step.
Thank you so much, Dr. Leslie Korn, author of Nutrition Essentials for Mental Health and The Good Mood Kitchen, for helping us take charge of our lives on WDIY. Thank you again for listening. Thank you, Neil Heaver, producer. See you all on the radio next Monday evening at 6:30 p.m. when I again invite you to take charge of your life on WDIY.